What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Stand Up Sit Down. I'm your host, Nick Perdue, and today we have the hilarious Dante Chang. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Stand up, sit down.
As you might be.
There it is.
Do I
there
tell you
all? Oh, shit.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Girl, I think
if I was a stripper, I'd strip to this. You know?
See, here's the thing.
She don't need smoke, but she's
I wouldn't make any money, though.
It's all body rolls, right? It's all body rolls. Slide the microphone down.
Yeah.
You can still do it now.
Oh, man.
What's up, Dante?
What's up, Nick? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you been?
And thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, listen, I've seen you on these stages.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this guy is not Asian at all.
Thank you, man. I guess that's why I'm on Black Hollywood Live. Man.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Dante is nowhere near Asian, especially like, if you're not watching this, and if you're just listening to this, and you just listen to his voice.
What's up, y'all?
His voice is blacker than mine.
You know how many black people have said that to me?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, you got that. You got that raspy. That yeah.
I try to, when I first came to Hollywood, because I wanted to be an entertainer, like, I try to hide it. I try to grow my hair out. Talk as proper as possible.
Right.
But the black folks will come to me like, man, I could just tell. You're not doing a good job of hiding yourself.
Right.
But so, no, you got to be yourself. You know, no one could really do it better, right?
That's exactly. No one's going to be a better Dante Chang than
that is true.
This man right here.
Maybe God, but other than that,
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe Daniel Day-Lewis too.
He would definitely do it.
He got me, man. God damn.
Does a bio piece and you're still alive. Like, wait a minute, Daniel. That's hilarious. So what was life like growing up, man?
I had a good time. I had fun growing up, man. Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, I tell people, like, I grew up around a lot of black folks, majority black folks. So, like, people are like, oh, man, was it dangerous? Were you always in trouble? Like, were you always getting beat up? She's like, no, not every once in a while, maybe, you know. But not like, you know, not like people think, like the stereotypical way of thinking of what it would be to grow up around a bunch of black folks. You know, people always think, oh, yeah, you're going to, you have to do this. You know, you sell drugs. She's like, I mean, no, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, you know, just regular. It's like you grew up in whatever you grew up. You know, it's the same
around
shit.
A lot of white people.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, you know, whatever that is, you know. I mean,
I got beat up and I had to sell drugs. And a whole bunch of cross burnings. It was crazy. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, see? See, it's the white neighborhoods that have the drugs. Not, see?
That's where the expensive drugs are. But so what area did you grow up in?
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so Chocolate City.
Yeah, grew up, born in Maryland, spent some time in D.C., spent some time in Virginia. Yeah, so kind of moved around the area a lot, you know.
Nice. So, but were you the class clown growing up, or you were?
Yeah, class, pretty much, you know. Yeah. Always got in trouble for acting crazy, you know.
But was it funny, though?
I think so. I mean, sometimes I'm the only one that found the shit funny,
right?
But
right.
I still found it funny, you know.
There you go.
I don't know. I didn't care, you know. I never cared about school, so, you know.
Were you like the token in your group? Because I feel like, you know, every group has a token. I was a token black kid amongst all of my white and Asian friends.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know what you exactly mean, but like,
were there any other, like, did you grow up with any other Asians, or was it just
was
black
one,
folks?
Around black folks, there was one other Asian dude, man. I mean, it was actually two, but they were both just like me. I gotta tell you about this one guy growing up, like, his name was Little High. He was from Vietnam. But he moved to all black. Moved to a black neighborhood. That was a nickname. But he moved to an all black neighborhood when he was 12 years old from Vietnam. Wow. So his accent is just completely hood and Vietnamese. There's no mix of anything else. So he's like, "What up, nigga?" That's how he sounds and shit. And it's the funniest thing. But he's not. He is. He's just being him. You know.
Right.
You know, he passed away like 10 years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know. Yeah, I loved it. He was a good dude, man. You know. So yeah. But this is how he was. But yeah, there's a few of us. This guy named Chris, growing up, he was Asian, but everybody else, I guess, pretty much, you know. Oh, a guy named Jeff too also passed away. So,
shit.
You know what it was like, because you know, I'd say like it's like with DC was 90% black or 10% whatever.
Yep.
So the 10% other guys sometimes would act the craziest to try to try to fit in and say, look, I'm hard too. I'm a thug or whatever. I'm tough too. Like. And they would end up getting into, you know, a crazy situation and, you know, getting shot up and shit like that. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like the people from the suburbs that right. want to be dad. They're the craziest ones right. sometimes.
Because like, they want to be Dan.
Like, you're rich.
What are you doing?
Why are you simulating being bored? Why, why are you doing this? I don't get it. Just stay over there, man.
Right. Know? The grass is green over there. Enjoy it.
I want to be over there. You know, that's a better right. place. It's safer. So, like, come on, man. I don't know.
So when did, like, comedy really kind of enter your life?
You know what, man? I always wanted to do it since I was a kid. Like, I loved Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle's my favorite comedian, you know. But I was scared to do it. Actually, when I moved here, I was contemplating doing it. And then my roommate started doing it. Mm. And, man, up to this day, after probably thousands of shows or whatever I've done, whatever, I don't know, I never keep count, but I never seen a worser bomb. And I thought he was a funny dude in my house. Like, he would make me laugh. So right. I was like, this guy's funny. He's going to do great as a comedian. I went, and man, it was like the worst thing. The band was like, start warming up while he was on stage. He was like, hey, dog, maybe you should pick up an instrument, you know? Right, and, then right. and then his boy was in the crowd. And he started praying for him. Oh, he said, man. He was like, Godfather, please let my friend get some laughs. And, but he kind of prays loud. So in the whole room could kind of hear him praying for him. And then it was just, I was like, yo, man, this is just, I'm not going to do this. People are brutal. I thought every show was like that. Right. Because in my head, because I never did it. I said, this must be it. You know, this is what you got to go through to be good. I'm like, nah, man, I don't think this is me.
But yeah, so it hurts you. Watching him,
and he was a funny dude. Yeah, it was bad. He never did comedy ever again.
Wow.
Never picked up another mic. Never wrote another joke. Just quit.
What does he do now?
I think he's a truck driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a crazy. Can I talk about him? I gotta talk shit about him. I've heard. If you see this, I'm sorry. I gotta tell. I think the interesting stories. He broke every broke. This guy one day just broke every bro code in like 15 minutes, man. Like one day, like he was, it was basically like, we were at the club. Mm. It was like for me and like three of him and like two other guys. This girl was hanging with us and she said, hey, I really like you guys. I want to go back to your house and have sex with all you guys.
Wow.
So we were like, okay, cool, let's go. You know, let's get out of here. Everyone got in the car. He took her and her with him and he sped home. And then he got to his room and just locked the door.
Damn.
And then let anybody in. And then you could even, everyone's knocking at the door. The girl's like, let him in. What are you doing? He's like, right. Nah. like, he just didn't want to. Like, let. And like, yo, that's like.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. And it's like, and then he's going to make his girl. And he made that his girl. Like, man, what the hell? That's like, you know what that's like, leaving us outside like that? That's like going to like Old Country Buffet and just locking the door and let a bunch of homeless people suffer outside. Like, why would you do that, man? You just fucked up, man. Yeah, he was crazy. Sorry, Vern. Just had to tell people what you did.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have something, bro.
If somebody's willing, you know, that's right. Like.
That's hilarious. You got
cock block a whore. What? Cock block a whore.
Oh, man. My God. But you know, that's a part of growing up.
Nah, this motherfucker was like 30 something, man, when it happened. Like
that's part of midlife crisis.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to give him.
No, you're right. I give him the midlife crisis.
Yeah, you're right. That. That's what it is. Yeah,
I give him that.
He's that midlife. He's
like, ain't no pussy in a while. Man. I wouldn't eat the thing. You know? I don't know what it.
You know, I share it nobody. So, what was your first show like when you started doing comedy? What was the very first one like?
Very first show or very first open mic?
Well. Let's talk open mic and then we'll talk show. So your first open mic was
first open mic, man. Like I remember, I was at the Ha Ha Comedy Club, man. I went one week to just scope it out, and then it was like two people in there. So I was like, I'm gonna write some jokes, and I'm gonna come back next week and do these, right? Yeah. And I was like, it's only two people in, so I can't fuck up.
Right, you know it's good. It's good.
I come back the next week, and there's 30 people in there, and I'm like, shit. And then I'm going at the bar just taking shots because I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
I go up, man, and they just. They laughed really hard, and then it made me say, hey, maybe I could do this, you know? And then a few people came up to me. It was like 30 audience members. It was somebody's birthday or something.
Oh, wow. So it was like real people.
Yeah, it was real people. They were all coming to me like, hey, I like your comedy, man. And I was like, how long have you been doing it? Just started. And I also got booked. Then I had my first show.
Nice.
I mean, I had my first open mic for a show.
Yeah.
A guy that I guess he, my friend Noel, he promotes shows. He was there. He was like, hey, man, I thought you were funny. How long you been doing comedy? I was like, 5 minutes ago. He was like, he's like, seriously. And I was like, no, I'm serious, though. you know, and then I was like, I was just taken back by it, you know. And then yeah, it was, the beginning was good, man. So like, yeah, the beginning was really good. I mean, I'm still having fun, you know. Yeah, so yeah, that's the first one. And the first,
and then yeah, then the first show,
the first show was at the Haha. And then it was good. It was good. And then Damon Wayans closed out the show. So to see, I have him on my shirt. So like to see somebody I really looked up to as a kid. So like to see him, like to be on the stage as my first show ever was really, really, really crazy, you know. So
you got laughs. Like no one booed.
No, it was good. It was crazy because, man, I caught a weird momentum at the beginning. Like I just had a lot of confidence, and I believed that was funny. You know, even the jokes were just beginnerish and stupid and really cheap and hacky and all that stuff. I still was like, you know what?
But you owned
it. Believed it. Yeah, I believed I was happy, and then I was getting people to come back to my show. So I was like, hey, this is working. You know what I mean? But then, like 7 months in, this happened, right? Like the Comedy Store main room. I'm not gonna say who it was, but right before the host brought me up, this is a big intimidating dude. He talks to someone in the audience, he's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. Respect us. We're comedians, bitch. You understand what I'm saying? And then he goes, your next comedian comes to the stage and brings me up. And I'm like, oh shit, man, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. I never had a bad one. It was like 7 months in doing comedy. That's when I caught my first bomb. I didn't catch it for 7 months. Most people catch it early, and it's good to catch it early because you got to get comfortable with that when you're not doing well. You know, like, so that just was I felt myself sweating. And the scary thing was, about 25 people I didn't know came to see me that show. They didn't just heard about me from word of mouth, and somebody suggested me, and then they just, a group of friends just came, you know. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm gonna kill it for them. Even they were like, oh, good job, you know. But they never came back to see me though. And I ain't seen one of them since. So I know that they didn't really mean it, you know. They were like,
well, they're watching this right now.
Shit.
They're like, yeah. Dante's grown. We're watching this right now.
Like, I don't know, man.
But I mean, you know, the Comedy Store main room, like it's such an iconic room. And so, you know, here's the thing, because if you're gonna bomb on a big stage, that's a good stage to bomb on.
No, it's not. That's never good to. I don't know. I mean, you can't. It didn't. Now it doesn't faze me. Like, I could literally go in front of 200-300 people and do shit I just wrote and feel comfortable. Like, even if it doesn't do well.
Right.
But as a guy that just had a world of confidence and just really thought that he was doing, oh, I'm doing well for myself. But then that was a good reality check, and I needed that.
Right.
You know, I needed that. And then I think I bombed like 2 weeks straight after that. I just kept catching, and then I lost all my confidence. I was like, man, you suck.
Did you want to quit though?
No. I knew in my heart, I was like, I'm gonna dig out of this. I already got I already had the audience at a place where they were laughing, so why not it happen again? Just like I kind of look at it like maybe baseball or something. Like, yeah, some days you might go 2 weeks without a hit, but then you got to come back at like 40 home runs. You have to. Because you have to make up for your fuck ups. Right. You know, you have to.
So. Law of averages. Like, it's gonna even itself out eventually.
Yeah.
Right. There it is. And I feel like that's the way you have to look at life, and not even just comedy, but just, you know, like if you have a fucked up week, next week is going to be not as fucked
Take
up, hopefully.
Life the way Iverson used to look at his jump shots. He would miss like 9 in a row, and he just wouldn't give. He'd come back and, oh, it's another 10. Like, I don't give a fuck. Right. I'm going to make some more. I'm going to make buckets. You know, that's how I guess you got to look. There'll be other shows, you know, so you just keep coming back and attacking, you know.
And you know, comedy is one of those things to where if you have a bad show one night, then you can get up on stage another night and, you know, have a redemption show.
And sometimes that night, you know, I've had a show where, I had this one show where everybody bombed. The veteran, everybody, the good new hot guy, everyone just bombed, right? And on the way home, everybody was feeling almost damn near suicidal. Like, I was just quit. One guy didn't do comedy for like 2 weeks. He's a good comedian. Didn't do comedy for like 2 weeks because he was so hurt by it. I was sitting there like, I'm going to go on stage tomorrow. I don't give a fuck. Who gives a fuck? It's one night. Some night, you know, it's like a baseball team. No one scores. No, everyone strikes out for a night. Like, hey, man. I mean, I've seen veterans guy look up to get frustrated. He was just like, man. After like his fourth joke didn't work, he looked at the crowd. Was like, "Man, fuck y'all!" Like, he just didn't know.
And just walks off.
Nah, he kept trying because he's a soldier. But You know, even he was like, man, fuck. And I never seen, that's like the first time I seen him not do great, you know, but we get that, that's when you see that happen. You see people like Chappelle not having a good one, like,
because they're not perfect.
Never see Jordan have a bad game. Like, it's gonna happen, and you just gotta just be comfortable in it when it happens, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's almost nice to watch such big names have bad nights, mm-hmm. because you're like, all right, like, they still go through the same struggle that every comic goes through.
As they're figuring stuff out or whatever. The one guy I've never seen do bad, though, ever, is Bill Burr. Ever. Never.
He probably has bad nights, though. I'm sure. Like, he has to have bad nights somewhere.
I'm sure, just, I haven't seen it.
Right.
Like, he'll just do new shit and still just, if it doesn't work, he knows how to recover so well. It's like, you know, he's such a veteran. So, you know, one of the best in the world, you know? So,
like, well, see, but also, too, like his bad night could be like a great night. You know what I mean? Like,
no, his so bad, like, night is a great night for me.
Right. So you're like, oh my God, this killed. He's like, nah, this is trash. You got three standing ovations. It was trash.
Only three.
Right. Have you ever had hecklers?
You know what's weird, man? Like, there was one time I had to tell the guy, man, shut the fuck up. You're fucking the show for everybody. You know, the audience stood behind me and clapped. But I've had this happen to me multiple times. Not that I'm saying I'm special. I don't know what it is. But, you know, some people say because I seem intimidating, like I'm going to do something to him. But, like, I'm not that dude, though. But, like, there's been a show when someone's heckling everybody. And then when I go, they'll just stop. Oh. And then when the next comedian, they'll start right back up again.
Wow.
You know, and it's just weird. And I'm like, and then they'll just, I've been fortunate because I could have, why not me? You know, like, it's not like I'm better than anybody on whatever, you know, better than anybody. Just for some reason, I've been lucky with that. You know, a few, it's happened, of course.
Yeah.
It happens. Some people are just belligerent and drunk, you know.
Right.
And then, excuse me. And then you could kind of just make them just, you know, put them in their place, and they kind of shut down, most people. Most of them shut down. I mean, 100% of them are just, they're all just.
I mean, people like the attention.
Yeah, man.
You know, and then so you kind of hit them with it. I'm like, all right.
No, I told one guy, I said, hey, you think you're funny? He was like, yeah, I'm funny. I was like, come up here and do this. You know, come up here and take the mic from me.
Did he go up there?
He got on the mic. Like, he came up to the stage, got on the mic, did a stupid dance, put the mic back, and just left. That's all he did. And he kind of froze. He was like, oh, I don't know what to do. He was all right, let me just go now. And like, I don't know. And then he was cool. And then I usually, the few times I had that, like, we get cool afterwards. I don't hate you because you actually gave me a challenge, you know? So I'm not mad at you. You're just a dipshit anyway. You know what I mean? Because I've been on a comedy show before I started comedy. I couldn't even have the balls to say anything. I'm too shy to even talk back.
Yeah.
If you say, hey, where are you from? I kind of just, don't talk to me. Everyone's looking at me because I was so, you know what I mean? I don't like this pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of freeze, you know?
Right.
But, like, I don't know how you get the balls to say something.
I mean, it's that liquid courage.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even liquid courage. People just say shit. Or when people don't agree with your stand, they just speak up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, yeah, when you do. I mean, I understand if, like, so the only time I kind of, if you say something really offensive and it offends somebody, I could kind of, that's the one excuse maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think one guy, one comedian, he did one of my friends, he was doing a joke about Paul Walker dying in a car accident, and his dad was in.
Like, wait, Paul Walker's dad was.
Paul Walker was at his show, he has a joke about Paul Walker, Paul Walker dying in a car accident, you know, and the guy was still kind of cool about it, I guess, you know.
But was the joke funny?
I think it's funny.
Okay.
Because I mean, most comedians love those jokes because we've heard the tick-tack jokes, everyday jokes so many times, but like to go like just go crazy is what I know what I personally like, you know.
Yeah,
I love those jokes,
and just kind of like the lines right there really kind of just dancing
I like, you know. Yeah. So
do you have any jokes that people might deem offensive?
I do. I have a one about gay bashing. But
gay bash.
Yeah, you know it's fucked up. Gay people like it. You know, gay people like the joke. You know, I talk about gay bashing. I have a joke about human sacrifice when I make fun of the Illuminati. You know, the whole, you know, whatever. You know, and that gets because it's talk about humans, sometimes it offends people because you're talking about, you know, whatever. And I'm just, that's about it. But I mean, I'm not opposed to doing anything. If I like something, I make fun of Bruce Jenner. Some people find that weird.
Right.
But a lot of people, I dropped it because a lot of it, you know, a lot of people started doing it. So, you know, kind of just cut loose, you know, but.
So, I mean, but is there anything that's off limits for you, or is nothing. Everything?
No, everything I think fair if it, I want to, honestly, like, I work hard on trying to make stuff like that funny, you know, yeah. But it doesn't, no matter how funny it gets, it loses people too. Just right. Because, so, you know, like you were talking, speaking earlier about politically incorrect, people are just so that yeah. way now, you know, that.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you have to kind of walk on eggshells a little bit because you don't want to, you know.
And that's the like, worst oh, thing for comedy, wanna, you know.
Right. Don't go to a comedy show. That's yeah. what it is. It's like, listen, if you get easily offended, then stay home.
Yeah.
You know, watch Golden Girls or something.
One lady got offended and talked to me after the show once because, like, a long time I had a joke about. I saw a sign at a petting zoo that said, please do not feed or molest the ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like kind of like acting it out, like who the like why is the sign there? Like how much does this have right. to happen for them to put a sign up? You know,
right? Yeah.
Like you know, like
who's
and then
molesting all these ducks.
And the lady was like, I can't believe you talk about that. You're talking about this cruelly cruel animals, you know? And it's like, but the sign is there. You right. know what I mean? It right. made me laugh. It was like, yeah, it made me laugh. Somebody's gross enough to actually molest a duck. I don't know what whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Multiple times too. Yeah. So that's, yeah. Have you ever had to apologize for something that you've said?
I think I apologize to that lady if you're offended and you come up to because it's never my intention. You know, my intention, if I mean, even though I have, like, I might have material that might be offensive to certain people, you know, it's our job to make our joke so good that you forget about how offensive it is. That's right. our job. You know, if you didn't do it, you failed that day. You know, right. like, I remember, like, this white dude said an N-word at a comedy show and this black woman just got so mad, you know what I mean? And I was like, you know, and then Louis C.K. got away with it because Louis C.K. shit was funny.
Right.
But it's not, you can't be mad at him because he's trying to work on, she's trying to make it funny, you know, it just didn't work that day. He's trying,
right.
you know?
Right. I mean, what you're saying is like, my thing is as long as the premise is there and like the whole scope of the joke is funny, then I'm like, all right. But if it's just not funny, then
just
like,
offensive.
You got to let that go.
It's just offensive. Yeah, yeah.
You got it. That's racist. You yeah. just got to let that go.
Yeah, it just, yeah, it's racist. No, you know what I mean? I do like to fuck around because I'm, you know, I was a class clown, like to push buttons, yeah. you know? So after he did that, you know, I have a joke with the say you with the N word in it. And I came and did it right after him. Like, well, I think I was like two after him. And the girl that got mad at him was laughing and said that was hilarious. Yeah. So, and it's a weird thing though. This dude, you know, black people have came to me several times and said, they've come up to me after the show, and they said, hey man, how come you don't say the N word? I'd really like it if you said it. And then his wife, and there's times he'll be with a girl, and then I was like, yeah, you should. I'm wow. with you. And I'm just like, why do you guys want? Are you guys trying to set me up? right, like right. one day they
no,
got
say it. Go ahead.
What if a Black Panther's in the room and it just right. has a flashback? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, man, fuck this dude, man. You know, like they got my ass whooped. I was like, and then I'm like, are you gonna be my disclaimer, come to all my shows and be like, look at this next Asian dude. He's allowed to say it. You know, it's cool. You know,
we gave him the card.
We gave him the card. It's cool.
Check his wallet.
No, it's cool. And when someone says it's very touching and cool, and I really appreciate that. I feel like that's love. You know, I'm like, hey, you can say chick. It's cool. It just doesn't roll off cool. You
right.
know?
It's such a hard. It's stings. I can feel like it stings me.
It does
a little bit.
Nah, I think it's funny because I say it to Asian people all the time. Like, right in my head, like. I think I'm racist for real to my own people, I think, because I was in Chinatown the other day and I was at some store that my wife wanted to go into that had like Hello Kitty stuff. And in my head I'm like making Asian sounds like chong 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 while I'm in here, look at, you know, in my head, you know. And then I won't, if I get a Asian Uber driver, I just cancel. I'm dead serious. Why? Man, I've had bad experiences, man.
But all of them, I mean, but you, I'm sure you've had bad experience with non-Asian drivers.
I would say maybe 5% of the time with regular people, but like 90% with Asian Uber drivers. They're terrible. Look, Sorry, they're terrible. I've had really bad ones, really? Man. Like, I had this one dude, like, all right, you know when there's two lanes, one lane's clogged, the other one's just free, you just switch lanes, just go.
Right.
It was like literally just so much space. And then I said, hey man, why don't you switch lanes? You know, there's a lot of space. He's like, but don't you think there's a reason why nobody is switching lanes? He's like, no, there's nothing up there, man. And then I put my head out the window. And I was like, look, man, I looked out the window. There's nothing there. He's like, okay. It's your life or something like that. He said something fun. And then he tried to switch lanes and shit. And he started doing it so slow that a car almost hit him, right? And then he was like, I told you it's a bad idea. I'm like, no, motherfucker. Why are you still changing lanes so goddamn slow? Like, he just did the, you know, the, like, come on, man, keep going. And then when he dropped me off, it was a one-way street, right?
Mm.
He passes that street. I'm like, yo, is that it? He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. I've been here before. It's my friend's out to stop. He's like, okay. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I'll take you there. And then he started backing up on a one-way street and ran into a bush.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's it, man. No more.
All right. I mean, if I had that, you know, Uber experience, I would.
I mean, you know what? You can't say it because you look like a racist. I can say it.
Right.
We could all dog our own people. It's cool. You know? Sorry, Asian people. I'm not a traitor like some of y'all think. Asian people like, you want to be black so bad. You know? You turn on us. I'm like, nah, man. I love everybody, man.
Oh, my goodness. Who do you model your comedy after? Or not necessarily model, but like who have you like kind of taken any like nuances from?
You know, I don't do it on purpose, but like a lot of people compare me to Bobby Lee because we're both Korean and we both have a bit about our dads. Some people say, oh, you know, I mean, if you look at my YouTube comments on my Laugh Factory video, like, it's like, oh, he's like Bobby Lee, this, Bobby, whatever, you know, reminds me of Bobby, whatever. So never, I mean, I was always a fan of his, but it's never my intent. I almost didn't even want to talk about my father because he does it.
Right.
But then when I tested it out and I started getting booked and getting bigger gigs because of it, I was like, yeah, I got to do this. And it's honest with me. It's not like I'm just taking his jokes and just doing the same thing, you know. Right. So, you know, I mean, I even like opened up for him. I mean, you know, opened up for him, and he like asked me to cut all that stuff out. That's fine. I get it, you know, because he does it, and that's his killer. So I get it, you know. So it was cool, you know. I don't really feel a certain way about it. I mean, I'm sure he's seen the joke by now. So it's like, you know, what could I do, you know?
Right.
But that's the only one. That's the only person I think maybe, you know. I mean, I really admire Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, you know, Louis C.K., Bill Burr. You know, those are some of my favorites, you know. Yeah. Of course, Margaret Cho, you know. But yes.
Yeah, Margaret's funny.
Yeah. She is funny. she's we're all from the same group. Her, Bobby, myself, we're all Korean. So I guess as Asian wise, Koreans rule, you know.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, was it Ken?
Ken Jung too. Right. Yeah, Dr. Ken too. Yeah, he's doing his thing.
He's you know,
he's like, awesome,
man. I've seen him, and I'm like, this guy's actually funny.
Yeah, he is. He is. I think they're all funny, man.
Yeah.
You know? I think there's some people. Any comedian that continues to work, I feel like there is something funny about them. It might not be your thing. Like one of my friends, like, oh, I don't like so and so. They're not funny. I'm like, they're funny to somebody,
right?
You know, because
they're funny to enough people.
There's enough people where they could continue to sell out or you know, produce, get stuff produced for them. Because if you're not, eventually it's not gonna. They're gonna be like, you know what? Like, Nick Cannon don't got three specials. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's like,
you should stop. Just you know, move on to something else.
With Nick Cannon. You know what, though? He's tried to move on to different things.
Here's the thing. Nick Cannon's a great business guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know what I mean? So, like as a CEO and, like, a boss and this and that, like Nick Cannon knows business.
He's great at business. And he's also had a song. He's had hit songs. He's been in movies. He's done everything. He does everything, but...
one gotta go,
but he doesn't have any fans though, you know. No lie, I'm being honest. Like, for like, I'm not here because I don't have no personal issues with him. He seems like a cool dude, but honestly, in my head, I was like, yo, I've never met a Nick Cannon fan in my life. You know,
I used to be a Nick Cannon.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, you're the second one I've met.
Gigolo.
That song was dope.
That was right. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, that was that. Like, Love Don't Cost a Thing. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, you know, Wildin' Out when it first came on, I was like,
Wildin' Out is dope. It's a good show.
Right.
It's a good show.
But then I saw the stand up and I was like, all right, Nick.
Yeah.
One gotta go.
Yeah.
So, but again, you know, he had Mariah. He has kids. He's hosting America's Got Talent. You know, he doesn't need to stand
up. No. He's a Mac though. You know,
right?
No, he's got some kind of game.
You've seen his track record.
Yeah, he's got some kind of game.
Right.
Yeah.
He's doing something right.
Yeah. It's like discount Will Smith. You know, like he used to call Will Smith, right? He was like a discount Will Smith.
If you
but that's still a good dude to be discounting. The cheaper version of Will Smith is pretty good. Right. It's not shit more than better than me.
Exactly.
Just looking
Nick is doing everything I'm not doing right
yeah,
now.
So, hey, give more hats off to you, you know. But look, I did say that crazy story. Like, I thought to myself, never been in the Nikita fan. No offense to you, but I was at a celebrity basketball game one time, right? Mm. And then this kid that was mentally retarded goes, "Excuse me, do you know Nick Cannon? Do you know if he's gonna be here?" And all I can think of is, "God damn it, I finally met a Nick Cannon fan." And in my head, I'm like, "So," in my ignorant head, I'm thinking, "So this is who Nick Cannon's for? These guys, you know what I mean?" And I was like, "All right,
everybody needs a hero." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody needs a hero.
Yeah.
So that's
it's because he's happy because he could sing and rap probably just as good as Nick Cannon. Like he's like, "I'm just as good." Just as good.
Yeah, he has all the albums. Yeah, has a Christina Milian poster or something, has a Nick Cannon poster.
Nah, you know what he probably got? He probably got a Nick Cannon, Christina Milian poster, or Nick Cannon, Mariah Carey poster, but he probably got his head cut out and replaced Mariah Carey's head.
It's you and me now, Nick. It's you and me.
I'm going to meet you one day, Nick. I'm going to go to the basketball game and find you.
How often do you write jokes, and like, what's your joke writing process like?
I try to write every day, man. Like, you know, I'm not very good, man. Like, I don't really like what I come up with a lot of times, but I just keep on going, you know. But
you,
every day
do you
I
like
try to write.
Physically write stuff, or do you like type
it? It's all in my head.
Oh, so you don't write?
Yeah, I don't
down.
Write anything down on paper.
All right, Jay-Z.
No, not Jay-Z. For some reason, I've tried the paper thing; it doesn't work for me.
So, how do you remember all this stuff, though?
I don't know. It just kind of sticks.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how. Like my guy that's mentoring with URC Thomas was like, you know, he said he gotta start writing stuff down. So I started, and I'm like,
It wasn't working.
No, it just doesn't work. It's like I could see it in my head, like because it comes out so much faster when I'm vision line in front of me. It's like almost like I could just look at a piece of paper and I could fix it. Like, right. I could see the paper in front of my face almost. You know what I mean? And it just kind of just. I erase things and I can edit stuff so much faster. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't got to push backspace, you know, whatever. It's just gone. Yeah. Just go, nah, that's not good. No, you know what I mean? I don't know what, it just works, you know? Yeah. Not Jay-Z though.
but do you like record any sets or anything? I record
everything I watch. I mean, the voice, I record the voice on everything. Mm. Sometimes on, you know, I videotape myself and, man, I just taped a thing at Bray Improv, a special with me and a few guys, man. And
nice.
Man, I watched the rough cut, man. Mm. I fucking think I sucked. You know? Like, this is terrible, man.
Laugh track in there.
Yeah, shit. They need to do more than that. You need to just reshoot the motherfucker. I shouldn't say that. They could be watching all the way. Why you say that? No, you never know. You never know when the finished product.
Right.
You know, and then people that are really harsh on me. You know, like yours is really harsh on me. You know, he watched the videos. Like he's like, it's good. You should be happy with it. I'm like, but I guess we're all self conscious about ourselves.
Yeah, and I feel like you're your biggest critic.
Yeah,
you know. So
I was like, I found a mistake like every 8 seconds. Yeah, like oh, that's fucked up. No, that's not good. You look stupid. Why is your head so goddamn big? You know?
Stuff you can't fix.
Yeah, everything. Man.
Why'd you tuck your shirt in? Untuck your shirt. Okay, you should no tuck your shirt back in.
Take your shirt off. You might actually be something funny then. Like, oh man.
How long before you know a joke is like ready to go for an actual show?
I think it depends on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's literally jokes like I thought of right before I go on stage and they worked. And there's some jokes that I'm still working on. They're like 2-3 years old. I'm still fucking with it and trying to figure it out. And there's certain jokes you really want to make it work. Like that girl that you know is not going to work out, but you're trying to force it to work. Yeah. Like, and then those sometimes come out to be, from my experience, when you force a joke, it seems like it never comes out to be a great joke,
right?
But a joke that you could use in the middle somewhere. Yeah, you know, never at the beginning, fluffer. Never at the end. Yeah, just a fluffer to fill up time.
Yeah.
You know, this from my experience, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe with more experience, I'll be able to make it all good.
But, yeah, just, you know, turn it off a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Right?
But so will you ever throw a joke away? Or we
just do it all the time, man. Yeah. It's a lot of garbage we come up with. Well, myself, like, it's a lot of garbage, man. Like, I'd say I throw away about 90%.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, and then now, like, after you tape something, mm-hmm. and it's like online or something, like, do you do those jokes? Or
it depends. Depends. I still do it. And then there's certain people that come see you because of that joke, and mm-hmm. they want you to do that joke.
Right.
They get upset. I'm like, but you know the joke. Joke isn't like a song. Like,
exactly.
Like a song appreciates as it gets older. You yeah. know what I mean? But a joke, once you know the punchline, depreciates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's so not as funny anymore.
Why do you, after you know the joke, you know, but, you know, we have our favorite movies that we love that are funny that we watch over and over again. So I guess... Yeah. Maybe it's something like it, but I never felt that way about stand-up. You know, if I watch, even my favorite, like some of my favorite could be Bill Burr, Chappelle, like I watch him and I'm like, I'm now at this point, I'm not watching to laugh, get entertained again. I'm watching to learn or pick up anything I can to become a better comedian at this point, you know? Right. So, yeah, so I'm, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's weird. Cause I was at mm-hmm. the Laugh Factory mm-hmm. and Dane Cook was on stage and like one of these audience members like yelled at him and he was like, do the such and such joke.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at her and he was like, but you know it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we love it. And I forgot if he did it or not.
Uh-huh.
But he kind of looked at him like, you've seen the special. Yeah. Like it's on the special. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you want to hear that joke, go watch the special.
Yeah. And it's something like maybe live, seeing it live too. You know? Like I don't know. I'm the same. I have this lady that comes you know frequently in my shows and she's just like, do this one joke. I'm like, but you've seen it like 5 times. Right. You know, like
you can say it.
Like I almost don't do the joke because you're here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because if I see all fresh people I haven't seen before, then I'll do it. But if I see you again, I'm like, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah,
I'm self conscious about it now.
Right.
You know, I don't want it doesn't flow out as comfortably.
What about joke stealing? Have you ever had anyone steal?
Yeah, I've walked a few little stuff.
Mm.
You know, like I walked in on one guy doing a. It's weird. I'm talking about my dad. He did the same thing about his dad once. So, you know, yeah, I talked to him. On, yeah,
did you say anything after?
Yeah, of course. I'm like, I'm the type I always say something. I'm like, yo, come on, man. And I'm also the type, if I see you doing someone else's joke that I know is their joke, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, that's not cool, man. Because people work hard. Like, I like strain my head, work hard to try to come up with material, yeah. And it's not even that good. So if you're going to steal that, like, man, right. Fuck you. You know, I'm going to say something. You know, like, right. I don't know. I think it's pathetic and sick. Yeah. At the end of the day, especially if you're, like, at a level where you're making specials and you're mainstream and you should not steal jokes because you could literally pay somebody. That's what I would do if I ever get to a point I can't come. I'm just going to pay somebody. I'm going to buy jokes because yeah. I'm going to have the budget to do it.
Right.
Just steal, you're just a piece of shit. You know, I mean, you exactly. Use some, you know, someone stop the shit out of you. Like, you're literally stealing.
Every time you tell this joke, I'm slapping you.
Yeah, you get slapped.
Yeah.
You know, this is fucked up to steal. It's like, you know, it's just, there's no, you can't take anyone to court. There's no, right. There's no, like, right. There's nothing the you thing. Can really do.
That's the thing.
That's the crazy thing.
What about these internet guys now, you know, taking guys' jokes and putting them on, like, on Instagram videos and making memes and all this stuff?
That's terrible, too. You should come up with your own shit, you right. know? Or, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, I don't think there's nothing wrong to give somebody the props, you know? Because, like, literally, I mean, one time, this, I got pulled over by the police once, and I used the Chappelle joke to get out of the situation, you know? And then, you heard the joke, he's like, he said his white friend goes, all he had to do was, like, after he broke the law on the road, all he had to say, sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do yeah. that, right? And yeah. then it worked. So I put it up with, thank you, Dave. I put hashtag, thank you, Dave Chappelle. If you do it, you should give the person props.
Yeah.
You should show how, to wherever it came from, whoever is the brain behind it. So when you make those memes, you should write hashtag whoever, Bill Burr, right. whoever. You know what I mean?
Inspired by
that. Right. You should give them the props. You should give them the love for being creative. Because you know what? You wouldn't be getting 16,000 likes if it wasn't for this guy on this right. meme. To get right. the meme, whatever you did. So, you know, I'm big on... Like, Michael Collier did that. Like, that's why I love that guy. He looked out for me very early on. He's a great guy. And he goes... I think Red Fox's joke. But before he does it, he tells you that it's Red Fox's joke.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Not even 1%. Just like... when you do a song over, you know, whatever, you know, and it's, you give the person props, then it's, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
In my book, I don't know what other people think, but it's my opinion, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, because what, Michael Collier says, is like, just because the person died doesn't mean that the joke should die with them.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a really funny joke, then it should live on.
Yeah, why not? I mean, why not if, as long as you give the proper respect to the person, right. You know?
Right. What do you think about these, you know, the Chappelle's coming back, the Martin Lawrence is coming back, you know, you got Chris Rock on stage, Louis C.K. didn't really leave, but, you know, like, about all these former great comedians coming back on stage and, like, just, you know, wrecking shop now?
Well, they have a right to do whatever they want. They could do it. You know, they can do it. Some people can't even come back.
Yeah.
And they're able to come back, sell out shows, so they should be able to do whatever they want.
I mean, do you feel that it's good for the culture?
Yeah, we need. I mean, to me, Dave Chappelle's the greatest comedian ever. To me, you know, me personally, you know. So it's like if Tupac were to come back, or you know what I mean,
right?
Biggie were to come back, or whatever, you know. Like,
right.
I love him being a part of the comedy. You know, I love him as a, when you see him at the Comedy Store, just coming out and just work out and just. I don't know. It just gives. I think inspires us to say, "Hey, man, you know, just keep on working." You know, because he's still out there working. You know, he comes out and grinds. He does his thing. You know, so like more proud. And I don't know. I honestly just feel, even though he's like so accomplished, I feel bad for the dude, man. Like, I think like he's been screwed over. You know, with that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone knows the story.
Yeah,
I think because he came up with just brilliance after brilliance, and so much stuff.
He revolutionized the way that you consumed comedy, and really kind of
it's hard to make another sketch show after that, man. Yeah. Like, what he did, you know, and Living Color was so groundbreaking,
right?
But like, and it was so hard to, you know, so many other, to me, I couldn't really get with anything else after Living Color. Then Chappelle finally is like, wow, I could actually enjoy this. And then it came to, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is, and then
his DVDs were selling and breaking records.
One of those, like, it should have lasted like 10, 12, 15 seasons if it could. Like, it should still be on the air and it could still be good if, you know, who knows what personally happened. Some people were like, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have walked away. Like, we don't know the story. Right. You don't know what
his options were.
No, you don't, man. You know? And honestly, man, if you had to walk away from your dream, how fucked up was the situation?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You have to walk away from something you love, something you worked for your whole life. You have to walk away from it. You know what I mean? He's not crazy. I've spoke to him before. He's not crazy. Nothing's wrong with him mentally. He's a fucking genius.
Right.
You know, whatever his reasons was, you know, you got to respect that, you know. I, as a fan, I wish it was still around and it didn't stop. But hey, man, you know, I love him being here. I wish, you know, I hope he gets another great push. And I hope he, you know, he just goes back. I hope one day he goes back to where he was, man, because, you know, it'd be great. I love his work. I think he's brilliant. And there's nothing I can say bad about him. He treats everybody. Even as a person, whenever you meet him, he treats everyone, he remembers you, he treats everybody regular. You know, he's just a regular dude.
Right.
There's people that are like 10% as successful as him that just act like an ass. You know what I mean? Like, some people just want a reason to act like that. Him, just a kind person, you know?
You were an extra on a TV show, relax.
Yeah, you're all right. You're right. Relax. Your lines got cut out, motherfucker. Right, you know what I mean?
Right. So, wrapping up, what is probably the biggest piece of advice that you've gotten over the years you've been doing comedy?
To not care, to not like get like frazzled if they're not laughing. Mm. I think that's a good one, and just that's probably the best thing that I could think of. Yeah, man, I can't think of nothing else. It's helped me out a lot to get comfortable. So like, I remember like, so in a situation when I'm not having a good set, it would show, and you could see me getting, you know, nervous or whatever, and I'd start. It would just all collapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you keep your composure, you can get them back it just comes. Because you just don't, it's weird. Just like a girl, when you act like you don't like a girl, right? And then they want to play with the meat. You know what I mean? And same with the audience. I feel like the more you're like, I don't give a fuck if y'all laugh. I don't give a fuck. And when you have the attitude, for some reason, it just works.
Yeah.
You could say bullshit sometimes. The more carefree you are, I believe, the better it works. You know, that's it, really. I mean, and then work hard. Right. You know, there's no shortcuts. The grind has no shortcuts.
This is very true.
Yeah.
This is very true. So speaking of the grind, where can people see you live next? Where can they catch
I'm at Shaky Town Live. It's the original Haha 5010 Lancashire each and every Saturday, 8 p.m. I'm there every Saturday. I'm at I'm there tonight at 8:30 p.m. I'm at Ventura Harbor June 17th. I don't know. I have my schedule with me, so I have no idea.
But then where can people find you online?
Instagram at Dante Chang, DanteChang. Same on Twitter, same on Facebook. So there's not too many Dante Changs in this world, you know?
There's not.
No.
There's not. But you know what's funny? So like when you Google Dante Chang, like 5 to 6 pictures down, Rufio.
Yeah. Because his name is Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute.
You know what's funny? I think he knows that because I saw him like 2 weeks ago. He looked at me like, this motherfucker taking my shine. I'm the only Asian Dante in the world. Dante, there's 2 Asian Dantes in the world. The guy, what's his name? The guy from Robin Hood, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Robin Hood.
Dante Bosco. Hook.
Yeah. Hook. Yeah. The guy in Hook. He's also Dante.
Yeah.
So maybe Dante is not a black name.
Maybe it's not. I mean, it probably is. But
yeah,
maybe
it is. Maybe Ching is an Asian name. Like, I don't know, you know. All right,
man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. God bless.
Thank you for being here. It was fun. I'm excited to see you on stage. I won't be at the one tonight, but I will definitely.
Yeah, anytime, catch man. You're good. Again. Anytime, hit me up. You're good.
That works. Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, you can find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Sipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.